even as a developer working on a feature, you have to understand it ain't real unless it's out there and the customers are using it.
Quite often I find organizations spend a lot of money hating the product when really they hate their process. And if you blame the wrong thing, you end up throwing it out and saying, let's replace Jira with the next new shiny.
There's a way to collaborate to make software which goes a little like this. You and your team and how you work together is more important than what kinds of processes and tools you use. It's better that the software you're writing works rather than just signing off on documentation and throwing it over the wall. You involve your customer for their feedback along the way. They're not an adversary. And you're not neurotic about sticking to a plan, but adapt and respond to changes. That's the gist of the Agile Manifesto. It was written by 17 software engineers in 2001. Their purpose was to codify just how teams ought to collaborate to write software. It's often been said the reason for outlining an agile process was as a pushback on the methodology known as waterfall, in which there's documentation and sign-off on each phase of a software project. The proponents of agile felt that software teams would do good to their companies as well as their customers by being more responsive. And so one feature of agile is delivering value to customers in smaller, frequent deliverables.
Do everything you can to reduce the gap in time from doing something to getting feedback.
John Kern is one of those 17 engineers who met in Snowbird, Utah back in 2001 to set down the Agile Manifesto. Today, he's an Agile Transformation Consultant at Adaptivist.
It's not about replacing waterfall. It's actually about the core principles of agility, about getting change into people's hands quicker.
Dan Hardiker is the Chief Technology Officer at Weaver, which makes software for architects and the construction industry. For this story, we interviewed John Kern and Dan Hardiker together. Ken Kaplan of The Forecast is the interviewer in this Q&A. Both Kern and Hardiker are evangelists for agile methodologies and talk frequently with teams about how to implement it, and they also talk to people already doing agile and how it can benefit a company's whole culture.
I try and expand their scope from beyond their team and give them empathy of what they're asking of the business wanting to know what do I get, when do I get it, and how much is it going to cost me, doesn't really relate to engineers that have to deliver something every 2 weeks. And so having that empathy for how you're asking the rest of the business to change, it's not just you that has to change, really helps them understand the fear that they put inside the organization and how it's their job as well to help the organization adapt, not just them.
What I try to encourage teams to do is use a systems theory and be holistic. You're not this little island of isolation within the business or even within the application. So it's having a broader perspective. It's being able to be slightly above where you're actually working so that you can make informed decisions and from a more holistic point of view. And that's why I love what Nutanix is doing. I mean, I'm jealous that I don't have that capability that Nutanix has, but they're really pushing agile and lean concepts under the guise of making things, run anywhere, making everything work together, the all together now phrase, right? I mean, that to me, that's an idealistic view of it's not a bunch of separate little things working. No, you're part of a system, you're part of a whole. And even as a developer working on a feature, you have to understand it ain't real unless it's out there and the customers are using it.
How do you know when you're not being agile? Is it a feeling? Is it a reaction? How do you know you're not being agile and you got to fix something?
Oh, that's a good question. Typically, I'll try to ask teams what it takes for them to deliver. A good friend of Dan's that I had the pleasure of meeting works at a very large bank, and he did a great exercise because I would always ask, what would it take to deliver the smallest change? And I'm thinking like a typo, it's just something trivial. He asked, what would it take to deliver no change? Just go through the process. So it kind of starts with having enough humility to question, how are we working? How do we, can we do better? It's a little bit like 2 second lean. You should be able to come in every day and think of something I can do better and be more lean and be more efficient and effective. That's probably the hardest thing, is for people to not fall into the trap of just come in every day working like an hourly employee doing 9 to 5. It's very challenging to be agile in that you have to constantly evaluate what you're doing. So it's not easy to relax.
I'd say that if you're worried about agile, whether you're doing agile properly or the things that hold you back from doing agile, it's going to be the ceremonies where you do stand-ups each day or you're doing your backlog sprints. And when you get to the retrospective, is this the retrospective that we do every 2 weeks? And what comes out of it? Is it the same stuff that we had last time and the time before? Are we just covering new ground? How have we changed Scrum or the agile processes that we're using from 3 months ago or 6 months ago? If we're doing it the same way we were a year ago, that's hardly incrementally improving. I mean, we might be improving our software, but we're not improving how we deliver software. And that was the point behind Agile, was to constantly look at you and how you do things and give people the pragmatism and the empowerment to make change. And if you're not changing your processes, you're only changing your software. You've just changed how you deliver software, not really fundamentally changed to an Agile way of working.
And sometimes we'll see organizations who will be going through the ceremony. I was just talking to a gentleman at a bar last night. And he described their retrospectives and their ceremonies, and I don't want to say they were all wrong, but they were basically all wrong. He was talking about how the retrospective wasn't about how we work, because I would say, you know, you could even say something like the pizza was bad last week, anything. But he said it was a ceremony that just the product owner and the scrum master arguing about the backlog and nothing about the team. So that... there's unfortunately a lot of Agile in name only, or faux Agile, and then Agile gets a bad name. At Adaptivist, we're experts in Confluence and Jira and all things Atlassian, and Jira often gets a bad name too. It's a similar thing. It's not the tool, right? The tool might be a start to help you do something, but it shouldn't be the end. Just like Scrum might be a start, but it shouldn't be the end.
There's a saying in scuba diving that tourists that come along, especially tourists that have money and they have all the gear but no idea, and they're the dangerous ones because they're the ones who buy the advanced equipment that can get them into situations beyond their control, and when you're 30, 40 meters down with a tank of Nox on your back, you can start swimming down, not up. And if you're giving Jira, then quite often I find organizations spend a lot of money hating the product when really they hate their process. And if you blame the wrong thing, you end up throwing it out and saying, let's replace Jira with the next new shiny. But you just take all of your ways of working, which is what people really hate, from the tool to tool, and you think that technology will save us, when actually it's in our hands.
It sounds like with these systems and teamworks working together, is there a handicap from trying to document more things and have more data to help make your decisions more data-driven? Does that bog down agility, or does it feed agility?
That's a great question. Even the way you're phrasing, you know, handicap. If you look at the Agile Manifesto, we purposefully didn't make black and white declarations that, you know, documentation is all bad. We made more of a, you know, we like this thing more than that thing. And because there is no right or wrong way to answer that question, but the team should be able to always look at, are we delivering the right amount of documentation? Is it too much? Because the way that I often tell people, I like to do just enough upfront design, just enough documentation, and even sometimes slightly less, just to see, oh, you needed more? Sorry, Ken. I'll add a little bit more. I wasn't sure. Versus just blindly going to some level that might be too much. That's, again, the agile mindset requires you to constantly think about what are the actions or the downstream feedback from my action, and it includes documentation.
Is it a constant state of adaptation, or there's a little bit of adaptation always?
Absolutely. Agility and the Agile Manifesto really is about a set of preferences. Like where we want to go to eat tonight. Well, that's great. I might want pizza, but no one else does. Or actually, someone comes in and has food allergies, and we have to adapt and have to deal with that. And so it's about being able to be cognizant of what the constraints are of the business. In my analogy, that's the group. But then all being able to get the best out of the people that are working there with the knowledge that we all really know what we're doing. So how can we get there better?
So it sounds like Agile is a state of mind, it's approach, it's about being very honest and authentic also.
I'd say Agile is three main things. It's pragmatism, reflection, and empathy. Because these are the three things that you need to exhibit in others and yourself and support teams in order to create what we look for, which is high-performing teams. And if you're not using pragmatism in everything you do, 2-week sprints, should they really be 2 weeks? Do we really need to do this thing to get it over the line? Reflecting in your retrospectives, not just on the work that you've done, the increment, but also on the processes that took you there and the things that stopped you getting further. And finally, on the retrospectives themselves, it gets very recursive, but you should be reflecting on the reflection to see if there's a better way in which we can learn. Because let's face it, there's only one thing that's truly irreplaceable in this world, and that's time. And that 2 weeks is gone and we're never going to get it back. But we've got 2 weeks again. So how can we make more out of it this time? And if we're not really thinking on that basis, then we're just delivering to get a paycheck. And that's not what the organization needs from us. Frankly, it's not what our customers demand from us.
For me, the one sentence that I'll often try to describe what Agile is, it goes like this. Do everything you can to reduce the gap in time from doing something to getting feedback. And that works recursively. It works at the code level with unit tests where you get rapid feedback. It works at the application level where you can do acceptance tests and see features working. And it works at the business level, driving the organization's developers with expected outcomes for a feature, and I should be able to have a closed loop to measure it. So it's a very recursive model that if you can only figure out how to reduce the gap in time between doing something and getting feedback, that's being agile.
John Kern is a co-author of the Agile Manifesto, and he's an Agile Transformation Consultant at Adaptivist. Dan Hardiker is the Chief Technology Officer at Weaver, which makes software for architects and the construction industry. You can read the whole Agile Manifesto at agilemanifesto.org. This is the Tech Barometer Podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. We're a production of the online tech news site, The Forecast. And you can find more stories at The Forecast by Nutanix.com. Thanks for listening.